Good evening, young people of Alcoholics Anonymous of Rochester. I'd like to congratulate you on your convention. You've done a fantastic job to the committee. They deserve a hand. And for people that came out tonight and today to support this wonderful occasion. It's your first, and it's my very first conference of young people of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'd like to thank you for inviting me. It is an honor and a real privilege for me. My name is Wayne McMahon. I'm an alcoholic. I'm very privileged to be here today. I love you people. And I really mean that. I really do. I was sitting up here and I'm looking out in the audience and I see these young people. I say, in my language, I say, "Nah," which means you people are so cute and so sweet. I'm young in Alcoholics Anonymous. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. And I love the way I am today because of you people. You know? I'll try not to get into an hour and a half drunk log. Maybe I'll knock off 5 minutes, okay? People do get tired, and I'm one of them, you know? I come from an Indian reservation on Christian Island in South on Georgian Bay. We are on the map, you know. If you ever look, you know, I'm very, very nervous, like I always am in front of an audience. I got butterflies and I'm sweating and I'm shaking, okay? That's always part of the course of being sober, I think. Oh, where'd this come from, you know? I have 4 sisters and 5 brothers, okay? I do have a mother and a father. Okay. At one time, I come from a big family. I used to hate my parents. I really did. I hated my father and I hated my mother. Especially when they were drinking. Because I seen things I shouldn't have seen when they were drunk and I heard things I shouldn't have heard when they were drinking. The arguments would start on a Friday night and I used to hate drunk. I hated them with a passion. Because early in my childhood, I had my legs broken, okay? Both of them. And I suffered pain all my life. Because I had severe arthritis and my legs never healed right. And when I went to school, people used to laugh at us because I used to always get hand-me-down clothes. And I remember on weekends my father or my mother would beat up my father, and I was ashamed of my father for allowing that to happen. See? I used to see my father beat up my mother, and my dad would wake us up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning to go and look for my mom, who he threw out. I remember my father threatened to burn us down and tied us up. And I remember, at a very young age, I suffered from claustrophobia. I used to hide in the basement. I used to hide in the attic. And I used to hide in the bushes to get away from my father. See, my father created fear. And fear was instilled in my life at a very young age. And I used to despise drunk. I hated my father and I hated my mother. Don't get me wrong, but I loved them when they weren't drinking. They were the best. My mother was the best mother I had, and so was my father. I loved them. I really did. But I hated the alcohol. See, I used to see a lot of wine and stuff like that, and a lot of times we didn't have food on the table, and we had electricity pulled out, you know, and we didn't have flush. Like a toilet, like what they have here in the cities. I used to go out in the outhouse, you know, in the winter time and stuff like that. I came from a poor family. Like, I don't blame that for being an alcoholic. I remember that first drink I had. I'm not one of these alcoholics that wrote it on the wall that I was 13. There's a magic number in Alcoholics Anonymous. No, I have to be honest with you today and tonight. I don't really remember when I first picked up my first drink, but I remember when I was young and it was a bottle of wine, 671B. I can still remember the numbers to this day. I used to admire people that were older than myself. I used to run around with a gang. I used to love, they used to have a brown paper bag with a ball of goof on there. I used to admire the guys that were older than me, the way they used to snap the bottom end of the bottle of wine. I'd want to do that. You know, everybody was bigger than me and older than me. So when they passed a bottle of wine to me, I chugged a lot of it right away. I went, go. I wanted to drink my share, okay? I didn't even, like everybody, all the guys I used to run around with, I used to be like somebody, yeah. Wow, I remember the wine going down. Oh, I started to get hot and I sparked perspiring, you know, like, I wanted to drink right away again. See, I was always worrying about if I was going to have enough or if I was going to get another drink. I didn't even put in any money in a bottle of wine. Like, they used to always chip in for a bottle of wine, okay? And a lot of times we ran out of money or a lot of booze, so we started using substitutes, okay? I started sniffing gasoline to get high. I sniffed nail polish remover to get high. I sniffed degreaser fluid to get high, okay? We were always running out of booze. So I started to break into houses and cottages to look for booze. When I picked up a drink, I changed. Alcohol gave me false courage, eh? My chest would pop up. I was 2 inches taller than what I am now. You know, it gave me false courage. I talk tough. I act smart. I try to impress people. I don't want to impress. I'm showing off. I'm better than they are. You know, 16 years old, I was crawling in and out of houses and beating up drunk somebody like Jim over there. I'd wait for them to get drunk, you know. I always wanted to take advantage of somebody. I'm one of these drunks that could dish it up and could not take it, okay? And then I'd brag to the boys how much I used to drink, eh? You know, how much did you drink last weekend, Wayne? Oh, we drank about 2 bottles of wine, eh? Meanwhile, I only had a sip, you know, but I'd help it, you know. Oh, was I ever drunk? I'd go lie to the boys, eh? You know, I was 16, 15 around there. All the girls looked good to me at that time, you know, but I was more interested in booze. You know, I want to have fun with the boys. We were always getting somebody to get us a bottle of wine or some beer, or we rolled somebody. So I was drinking underage, okay? In Canada, the drinking age was 21. So we got somebody. One of the biggest mistakes they did in Canada was drop the age from 21 to 18, okay? So I started using my brother's driver's license to get in the hotels, okay? You know, everybody was even my friend in the hotel. You know, everything was great, good, fantastic. And I feel good about myself. I left the reservation. I got a job. My mom's no longer nagging me, you know, telling me what to do. I'm young. I'm single. Nobody's going to tell me what to do, period, you know. Yeah, so I used to go back to the reservation, get drunk, you know, cause a fight and stuff like that. And these blackouts, my alcoholism, I used to only drink Friday night, then it started to get to Saturday night, and a lot of times I didn't know what had happened to me. I remember one night I grabbed a 303 and I wanted to shoot some Indians, okay? You know, I went hunting, you know, after hours, you know. Okay, I think I was 16 and a half then, you know. Oh, boy, and I went to court and all this stuff. I was supposed to be sentenced to 5 years in the penitentiary. It was my first offense. And I remember I walked into Alcoholics Anonymous. I think I was 17 years old, you know. I see somebody here in the suit and gray hair. I remember the first two meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous I attended. See, I'm too young to be an alcoholic. It's all right for him. He's over the hill. He's going the other way. He should quit drinking. Well, that's the kind of attitude I had. You know, nobody's going to tell Wayne what to do. Period, you know. So I set out those two meetings. You know, I think I lasted, you know, they told me to come back 90 days, 90 meetings. I think I lasted 90 seconds. Closed mind completely, you know. So I set out to learn how to control my drinking. Control drinking to me is like trying to control diarrhea. Once I start, I cannot stop. Wow. Pitter-patter, let's get at her. Nothing holding me back, you know. Oh, if somebody offered me a drink, my eyes would light up, you know. Are we going to run out, or where can we get some more, you know? Oh, yeah. Let's go to Toronto for a drink. Yeah, sure, let's go, you know. I had a lot of problems with my drinking, okay? My mother had a serious drinking problem, and it was me. Wayne, you know what you did last night? Wayne, you got drunk last night. You almost burned us down. The whole house was in smoke, Wayne. You passed out while you were cooking. Yeah. All because of having a good time and maybe just having one drink. You know, I thought I was always having fun. And I lost control, eh? I couldn't stop drinking. I thought I was really having a good time when I was drinking. I used to love going to hotels, okay? There were young people like my age, okay? 17, 18 years old, you know. Everybody's my friend in the hotel. How are you? You're great, good, fantastic. For me to drink, you sucker. Yeah, yeah. I spent all my money when I worked, eh? I started on a Thursday night now. Spent all my money, eh? Not pay my rent and stuff like that, you know. I got credit cards. I try to get sex on my charge acts, you know. Get it now, pay later, you know. Wow. Oh. And I financed a motorcycle. AFCO finance, you know, the worst people you can borrow money off, you know. I used to drive around like Cap Ballou. I spent more time under the motorcycle than on top of it, let me tell you. Yeah, I kept drinking, okay. And I had many geographical cures. Any time I had a problem, if somebody confronted me that I had did something when I was drinking, I couldn't face that person. I'd run away. I'd go on a temper tantrum. If I wasn't on a temper tantrum, I was pouting, you know. I was so used to having my own way, okay. And I kept drinking, okay. I'm starting to see all kinds of crazy things. I'm hearing noises. I have blackouts constantly. I remember my mother used to get after me. Wayne, you know what you did again last night? You puked all over the couch and you rolled in it, you know. Wayne, you got your own waterbed. You peed in it again. Yeah, oh. My mom used to keep cleaning up my messes, eh? I ate a pound of butter. I ate dog food, okay? You people call it compost today, but I used to eat that when I was drunk. You know? I just kept drinking, okay? I'm starting to lose respect for myself, and I don't care what happened to me, okay? I ran away, and I blame everybody else for my problem. If that nag bag would get off my back, I'd be all right. And then that mother of mine, she kept after me, okay, Wayne, you drank too much. So one Sunday morning, I punched her right in the face. I punched her right in the eye, and she went blind. And I'm not proud of that. And the time I try to hang myself, don't try it. It hurts. And there was another time I was thrown in jail with my brothers and my cousins, with the guys I used to drink with. Before I got picked up, apparently I was supposed to get into the taxi. I jumped in the cop cruiser, okay? And I woke up in jail again. I was always getting picked up, okay, for being drunk. And I remember what happened to this big, tough Indian, you know? After a couple of drinks or after I got drunk, I really thought I was something, you know? And I would get beat up and put in the hospital. I got my nose broken. I got teeth marks on my left arm. I got my ribs broken. I got punched out so many times. I was in the hospital four different times. And one particular night, I got thrown in jail again. I tried to burn the sucker down, okay? Yeah. All these wonderful things were happening to me, all because of one drink and trying to have a good time. And then I ended up on Skid Road. My brother found me. You know, he drove me home on a wheelbarrow. What a way to go home, eh? You know? Like every town has got Skid Road. Sometimes it's in your own mind or in your own home or you're not in your own house. Alcohol's got no respect for age, beauty, color, race, or creed. I remember, you know, when I was drinking, boy, I used to feel sorry for myself. If only people would leave me alone, I'd be all right. You know, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm crying. Self-pity, okay? Poor Wayne, you know? Everybody's picking on me, eh? And I remember slapping my baby sister in the face, eh? I was starting to get jealous of my brothers and sisters because they were getting all the attention and I wasn't. I remember I see the maggots coming out of my skin, out of my arms. I'm starting to see devil's snakes, and I'm starting to hear noises in my head. I got ringing in my head constantly from the beatings I took. Yeah. And at times I used to miss work. When I was at work, I'd lie. I'd start to cheat, steal. I start to steal from my family. I start to lie to them more often. I was always using excuses to cover up for my mistakes. You know. And I remember trying to hide my booze in the chicken coop, and I locked it. You know, my dad had a small farm. So I couldn't get in there. I lost the key or the combination, whatever. So I crawled in where the hole was. Talk about being tired and fettered, eh? You know, like, I had, chicken crap all over me, and fetters all over me, man. What a sight. Oh, yeah. See, my booze, my wine, my beer. You know, in a lot of times, I didn't want to be an alcoholic. So I quit drinking hard liquor. So I stopped also drinking wine because I didn't want to be a wino. So I got into the beer, okay? So after I got feeling good, I started mixing in wine, beer, and whiskey. You know, like, pitter patter, let's get at her. There was no stopping Wayne once I got going. It became a mental obsession. I started to pawn stuff off. I remember trying to pawn off a turkey to drink. Christmas time was very bad for me. Very, very bad for me, Christmas time. I made all those phony commitments to myself and pledges and oaths. I was going to clean up my act and I was going to quit drinking. Somebody offered me a drink, I was gone. All my good intentions went out the door. I couldn't care less. You know, I had a blackout Christmas time. My aunt told me about this and my mother, I was humiliated. Apparently I had blacked out and I pissed down my aunt's Christmas tree at Christmas time. What a thing to do, eh? How can you do such a thing, Wayne? And any time I did something wrong or stupid, it was always rubbed in my face. All my life I've been yelled at and put down and criticized. So Wayne, you're sick, you're crazy, you bring nothing but misery and pain in this house. That's all it was just a house to drink and flop down. A lot of times my mother cleaned me up. All her life my mother tried to teach me from right and wrong, not to steal, not to lie, not to cheat. I really lost my self-respect. I loved all the women in the hotel when I was drunk, you know. They looked so good, you know. I had a sex problem when I was drunk, okay. I'd get all excited, I'd get all worked up, you know. When I'd get drunk, I forget all about it. So my love life was not the greatest, nothing to really brag about. But I tried when I ran into the boys, you know, like, I lied, you know, like, you know. And always blaming somebody else, you know, for my problem. I couldn't stop drinking. I started drinking rubbing alcohol again. I started drinking aftershave lotion. For a while there, I had the sweetest breast in town. You have to excuse my language and the way I talk because I've been punched in the head too many times. I almost had my jaw broken and my cheekbones. So I have a hard time sometimes with my words. My nose is pretty straight today because of the doctors, eh? Nonetheless, I am the biggest hypocrite of Alcoholics Anonymous. So many times I criticize people, eh? I would put you down to make myself look good. I am not proud of that. I am the biggest hypocrite that walked in the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous. I went to church drunk. I called the priest. I passed out before he got there. I made fun of the Salvation Army. I slammed the door in their faces because I just wanted somebody to talk to me because I was always lonely, okay? And a lot of times I ran out of booze. I used to pass out two or three times on the weekend. You know? All people used to laugh at me, eh? You know? Oh, no, there he comes again, you know? Because they didn't know what I was going to do. I had lost total respect for myself. If you had a girlfriend in the hotel, if you were dancing, I became jealous. What is she doing with him when she could be with me? If you had a wife, I wanted her. What's she doing with him? Yeah, I heard a wedding out here just a while ago. That brought back memories. What's she doing with him, you know? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me, you know? And I had a mouth on me like a sewer. You know, I'm fantasizing, you know, about women and stuff like I'm a dreamer, the whole bit. I mean, I remember the first time I fell in love. It was in the hotel. It was a stripper, okay? I'm drunk. I'm sitting in the front stage, you know, I'm eyeing her up, you know, I'm fantasizing what I'm going to do with this woman. She's 6'5", 250 pounds, you know, and I need a ladder to get at her, you know. Wow, you know. Wow. Oh. I'm just a little fucker, you know. It didn't take them much to throw me out, you know, like get cut off. You're not allowed to touch the girls. I did a lot of traveling, you know, the bar. Oh, yeah. They never welcomed me back, you know. Like in Alcoholics Anonymous, they say, come on back. You know? They never did that to me. See, I wanted the people and the bartenders and stuff like that to like me so they wouldn't cut me off. I'd go and wash my face in the washroom so I would not look so drunk so I wouldn't get cut off. It's pretty hard to do when you're tripping over your legs, you know. It's harder for me because I'm bow-legged, okay. You know, and I kept drinking. And, you know, many times I wanted to stop drinking on my own. I was not successful. All I needed was to do was sniff the cork. I was gone. I'm not one of these alcoholics that can come up here and brag like I could stand and drink 40 pounds or a 45-gallon drum. No, I'd be lying to you if I did. You know? It doesn't take me much to get drunk. But I can't stop. It's an obsession. It's a sickness. Why is it always the alcoholic or the drunk the last one to realize they got a drinking problem? Everybody else was confronting me, and everybody else was telling me I had a problem with booze. With my rotten attitude and the way I was thinking, nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm young. I'm single. Nobody loves a drunk. I found that out. You know, I brought a lot of humiliation. I remember putting the boots to my sister. We were abused children. Then I became abusive myself because I seen it. I was extremely jealous of my sisters. And one time I wanted to snuff out my whole family. I wanted to burn them down again, or try. Because I felt deep hurt and deep rejection. You know, in the meantime, my mother had quit drinking. She was sober 15 years through the church. And my father stopped drinking. He had about 5 or 10 years. Then we were getting older, and one of my older brothers died in a fire, okay? He was burnt to death. He was drunk. You know? I suffered a lot of pain when I was drunk. I caused a lot of misery for a lot of people. There's one there I don't like to talk about. I had started a fight, and this guy was killed. He did die after. I'm not proud of that. If I wouldn't have started that fight, that guy would be alive today. And with my motorcycle, I was driving around drunk. I ran over this old bag, okay? I was going to the hotel just to have one drink. You know, to this day, she walks with a cane, eh? That's what I did. Trying to have a good time. So people would like me. And so people would pat me in the back that I was a good guy. I tried to drink myself to death. You know? I'm thinking suicide all the time. I'm kicking the walls at home. My mother must have threw me out 1,000 times. And I remember walking down the road, downtown Midland, after I got thrown out, looking for a drink, eh? I'm walking down the road with 2 garbage bags and a cardboard box. That's all I had. See, I forgot to pay the rent, eh? Because my drinking buddies were so important, you know? And the latter part of my drinking was sheer hell. I don't want to live like that again. You know, I'm holding my liver. I'm yellow. I'm hemorrhaging. I hear things in my head. Wayne, you're crazy. No, you're not crazy. They're crazy, not you. No, they're crazy. I am. So I said, when I was drinking or coming off a drunk, I couldn't face people. Okay? I used to blame God. I used to curse God for every rotten thing that happened to me in my life. I was always blaming somebody else except Wayne. And I remember saying one of the strangest things in my entire life. I come off a drunk, I'm holding my nose and blood in my liver. I say, oh God, help me. You know? And it gave me enough courage to ask my boss to be committed at the Ontario Hospital and Pandit Dang machine at the psych ward, okay? My last drunk was May the 10th. It was on Mother's Day. I wanted to stop drinking for my mother. I wanted to surprise my mother because I wanted to stop drinking. I was in a mental institution, okay? My mother cried all the way, and my baby sister and my older one of my older brothers, they locked themselves in the car for 30 minutes. My mother didn't realize how far I've gone. She went to the criminally insane at Oak Ridge, maximum security, but I went to a drying out clinic, okay, in the bug house. And she cried. I always hurt the ones I love. People that cared about me, I turned my back on them, and especially my mother. Oh, I used to curse my mother. She was the only one that was there. I'm going to start talking about the benefits of Alcoholics Anonymous one day at a time through you people. You're the people responsible for this new way of life. 365 days of continued sobriety in spite of myself and in spite of you people, I stayed sober. Other people on the reservation found out I was in AA and I was at the bug house. They used to laugh at me. All my drinking buddies laughed at me. You know? And I was hurt. And I'd go crying to my mom. My mom became my friend, the only friend that cared. My drinking buddies couldn't care less. He's crazy in a way, you know. He's sick. You know. They used to laugh at me, eh? Make fun of me. Wayne, did you get shock treatment? Wayne, were you in a padded cell? You know, were you in a bubble room, you know? Oh, yeah, that would really hurt me, eh? And I took that very personal. You know, I don't want to hurt them, and I want to get even, eh? I come into AA, I had a lot of anger, and I was bitter. I was frightened, I was scared, I was very lonely, and I didn't trust you people. I remember people that came to Alcoholics Anonymous, to the institution there, where I was. I said, one old lady come up to me and says, Wayne, come on back, we love you. It's been a long, long time since I heard that, eh? See, after the meeting, I used to wash the floors with my mop. Okay, like one flew over the cuckoo's nest. That's what I used to do. Because I didn't want you people to get to know me that I was a $3 bill. Real phony. That was my way of keeping you people at bay. It took me a while, you know. And when I was in the institution, in the bug house, I started to become institutionalized. Nobody could hurt me. I'm safe here. I'm told what to do. I get 3 square meals. I get pills, medication when I want. I feel good. You know? They told me, Wayne, I think you should try Alcoholics Anonymous. You got no place else to go. No other place to go, Wayne. I've kept going to your meetings. Open once and close once. 365 days, you people gave me something I've never achieved in my entire life, a one-year medallion. There was over 100 young people at my one-year medallion in Midland, in population of 12,000. 100 young people. I was the youngest Indian that come in to Alcoholics Anonymous. I think I was 26 at the time. Oh, they used to laugh at me, eh? This guy will never make it, eh? I felt hopeless, defeated, and beaten. See, all my life I've been put down and criticized and screamed at and yelled at. I didn't want to hear that when I came in Alcoholics Anonymous. But you people met me at the door. You stuck out your door. The door opened for me. It says, come on back, Wayne, we love you. I wanted to run home and hide underneath my bed and cry like a baby. Because that's what I used to do when I was hurt. I'd cry like a baby. But when I was with the boys, I'd put on that great big front, you know. Second year of sobriety. I ended up in the hospital again with kidney stones. I was on heavy medication. And I think it was painkillers or Demerol or something like that. And I'm feeling sorry for myself laying in the bed, okay? I said, maybe if they cut out one of my kidneys, I'll be able to drink normal or sociably again. Have you ever heard such folly from an alcoholic? After me being in a mental institution, hospital, and jail, I want to drink normal. By this time, I got a sponsor and I phoned him. Said, Wayne, you're only feeling sorry for yourself. He was right. I fired him. See, the older members of Alcoholics Anonymous and the people that go out to institutions, I owe you my life. I owe you my life for coming to me to talk to a crazy person like me and give a little bit of hope that I too can be accepted in your room and not run away and hide or walk away angry. You know, 30 years of sobriety, I used to sit in the meetings all alone in the front row. And it happened one Friday night in Penetang. I used to hear the doors go bang, 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 bang. Then my future brother-in-law, the one I was going to kill and punch out, walked in with my sister. My younger brother come in the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous, the one that found me. And my other brother, Andrew, he come in the doors of AA too, because I wanted to kill him with a stone. I wanted to beat him to death with a rock. That's what jealousy and anger and hate does to a family. And that's what Bruce was doing to me. I wanted to strangle and kill my mother so many times. 4 years of sobriety. My dad took a stroke. He spent 2.5 years in a hospital. He never did recover. But on my 4th year of sobriety, I made amends to my father because of you people. I put my arms around him like that and I said, Dad, remember I was sick and I was drunk, I was crazy. I tried to make a fool out of you. Dad, I'm sorry and I love you. That was the last time I seen him. He died a couple of days before Christmas. And I was crushed because I grew to love my father because of Alcoholics Anonymous and your 12 steps and your traditions and your concepts and being active in Alcoholics Anonymous one day at a time for yourself. They told me to get active early in sobriety and I did. I started to argue with everybody. I used to go to those discussion meetings full of anger, full of hate, full of fear. I want to walk in there with a knife or a bat and clean house because you people were telling me the truth. You molded me. You molded me. Piece by piece. You took me apart and like a puzzle, you put me back to life. I start to like Wayne. I'm starting to like Alcoholics Anonymous. The benefits of AA I couldn't believe. Wow. I'm starting to gain my respect back on Christian Island on the reserve. I couldn't believe it. 5 years of sobriety. I used to hitchhike to meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous and take taxis and walk to meetings. Because I remember the older members saying, you'll go to any length to achieve sobriety. And I remember walking 3 miles on ice in the wintertime to go to a meeting and hitchhike. So don't dare come and brag to me about being grateful. It's just not a word with me. It's action. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. Five years of sobriety, another 5-year medallion. My mother was there. I made amends to her. I gave her a dozen of roses. She's always been my friend. I made amends to my mom that night. Hey, Mom, I love you. She's gone blind. And I look at her face. I had a hard time saying that word. And my mother, 6 years, she got gangrene. She got her leg amputated. She was on a dialysis kidney machine. Her heart stopped 2 times. You people in Alcoholics Anonymous have never left me. You've always been there when I buried my mother. And I buried my father. I grew to love my parents. I grew to love my sisters and brothers. by working these 12 steps and these traditions in my life, one day at a time. My last drunk was May 10, 1980. My dry date is May 11, 1980. And I haven't had a drink since, and I don't want one because I know I can't handle it. Why should I fool myself today? I started to reap the benefits of Alcoholics Anonymous. I bought a brand new motorcycle. I went out to British Columbia. I spoke out in Alkali Lake in British Columbia for Native people. 95% of them are sober today through Alcoholics Anonymous. What an honor for me, eh? I remember I couldn't even leave Midland or Pantang unless the cops were taking me someplace. Or I was running away. And I remember one time when I was drunk, I got picked up by one of those funny people. I was hitchhiking. He'd have had me had I passed out in the front seat. I remember him grabbing my leg. I bailed out, okay? So be careful what you pick up, drunk or sober. I'm not talking about Rolaids either, you know. No. Oh. It was hard in the beginning. It was fun. I start to be liking going places. I start going to conferences, attending different meetings across Ontario and Canada. I went out to, I've been down to Nashville, Tennessee, Ohio, Detroit, Kentucky. I drove my motorcycle out to the East Coast. I went to a meeting in Corner Brook, Newfoundland. They talk a little bit funny there, but I like them, you know. They're all right, you know, they're friendly, you know. They stuck out their hand. They made me feel welcome, okay? I met a lot of Americans in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'd like to thank the people from Syracuse, New York, the people I see in Toronto Conference, and the people from Rochester. I got a little buddy sitting here in the front row. He needs a meeting. It's nice to see him here. I see him here every year at conference in Toronto. Good to see you. Yeah. I really love my sisters and brothers. I was one of my best men at our wedding. I'm an uncle today. I used to hate kids because I came from a big family. I love children today and I love babies. You know? Three years ago, I think it was, I went to California. I've been to Denver, Colorado on my motorcycle. I've been to Reno, Montana, Oregon, Washington. I spoke in Spokane, Washington. Yellowstone National Park. I was there when it burnt down, but it wasn't me that started it. I want to clear that up. I want to clear that up. Fires used to excite me, eh? Pyromaniac or something, you know. Then a year after that, I drove out to Fairbanks, Alaska, Whitehorse in Yukon. I attended, any time I travel or when I'm on holiday, you know, I attend a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, because that's where I belong. I don't belong with my drinking buddies. I don't belong in the hotels drinking coke and ginger ale, doing some wishful thinking. I don't play games with my sobriety. In fact, I don't hang around with people in Alcoholics Anonymous that smoke up or that snort. Because I take my sobriety and my life very seriously today. Because I love me. Yeah. Unbelievable, eh? And two years ago, I was up in Hudson Bay, James Bay, because of you people. I owe it all to you. You've given so much. I have received so much. And if I can help maybe one person out here today, out in the audience, just maybe one person, that you don't have to become like Wayne Meeksamon or end up like Wayne Meeksamon, I think I've done our job. And that committee's done their job. I'm no longer alone. You know what happened to me? Be able to speak here? Through the rain, I drove my motorcycle. Wet, right to the pants. You know? And I've been asked the many benefits of Alcoholics Anonymous. I have a lot of beautiful friends today in AA. I get a lot of strange phone calls, eh, Mike? Highway 490, where's that, you know? Because of you people, to be asked here to speak at your banquet, what an honor. You know what? I've been asked to be the banquet speaker in Las Vegas, Nevada, in October the 10th for the Native Conference. Because of you people. Because of you people. One more little benefit. I am a big brother today to a handicapped child that was sexually abused, and the parents trust me with that young guy today. He loves me, and he tells me. It's nice to be told, or somebody tells you that they care and they love you. See? That young guy, he looks up to me all my life. I was nothing but a dirty Indian and a dirty drunk. That's what people used to say. This young guy looks up to me, and he loves me. See, all my life I've been put down. That don't happen today because of Alcoholics Anonymous. My mother thanks you. My brothers and sisters thank you. My father thanks you. I think the whole tribe from Christian Island thanks you. Jimmy Quick, thank you very, very much. From the bottom of my heart, I love you.